Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
I am not my own. I was bought with a price. I was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All my debts were paid by His sacrifice. Hallelujah to the man who is in Christ.
I am not my own.
I am not my own. I was bought with a price. I was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All my debts were paid by His sacrifice. Hallelujah to the Lamb who is
He. I am not my own, Lord.
I am not my own. I am bought with a price. I was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So welcome to this place. And welcome to a new place for yourself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So anybody who has any wish for any new place, just receive. Eh? Amen.
Amen.
Just partake, whether you have what, just by virtue of being here. Eh? Glory to God.
Amen.
You know, there is a scripture in 1 Samuel, I think 1 chapter 30. Yes, 1 Samuel chapter 30, of when David went. Now, it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it up with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone but carried away and went away. Now, go a bit to like maybe verse 10. You know this story, at least you're supposed to. Start from maybe verse 7. Okay, start from 7. So it says that, then David said to Abiathar, priest, Abimelech's son, please bring me the ephod here. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And then David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him and said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Okay, go ahead. So David went here and his 600 men. How many people went? Who were with him? And came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. So some were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men. So how many people were left behind? For 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. Then they found an Egyptian in the field. Okay, it's a long story. But go ahead where they divided the spoil. And you see, there's a principle here which is so important, which I actually was. You go ahead, you'll find where they came back and they were dividing the spoil somewhere in that chapter. Anyhow, so we are so glad to be in this place. Now when David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And then when David came near the people, he greeted. Now here is the thing. So after David went and captured and got the territory, he came back and these 200 guys who did not cross, who did not fight, who were too weary to fight, came to meet him and to greet him. And they were also happy. Praise the Lord. They were also what? They were happy, but they had not done what? They had not partaken in the war. They had not fought, but they were happy. They were well-wishers. Amen? They were what? So now listen to what David says. Then all the wicked and worthless men who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. Who said that? Wicked and worthless men. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hands the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is he who went down to the battle, so shall his part be he who stays by the supplies. They shall what? So David said the well-wishers get the same as what? Are those who went to fight. So that is the principle of God. And if you think otherwise, you are wicked and what? So now, the principle is anybody who wishes us well can partake the same, whether you did what or did not do what. Any well-wisher who is happy gets an equal share. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you want to move to a new one, you know from a place. Hey, now is this one bigger? Yes. Is it better? Yes. So if you want to move to a bigger and better place for yourself, all you need to do is to be a well. That is the principle of God in the Bible. And actually the wicked and worthless people are the ones who think otherwise. So praise the Lord. So everybody is free to what? To partake. Same share, no difference. Because if you're a well-wisher, maybe you were tired. Like these guys. Praise the Lord. That's all that matters. So we are here. We are happy. Praise the Lord. And now let's see how you're going to, unless you don't want to move and you settle, but if you really are interested in something bigger, I'm telling you now you can partake. We are here for this reason. Glory to God. Amen. So did you know that principle? Did you know it? No, now from now onwards, know it. Anybody who is a well-wisher. That's how even I did my campaigns. All well-wishers are, yes, just wish me well. That's all that matters. And we are together. Amen? You just have to You see, when you realize that there are so many non-well wishers, that's when you appreciate well wishers. Whether they just do that, they don't have to do anything more, just well wish. And they partake the same grace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, okay, I wanted to tell you something, but let me tell it to you. Wednesday knows my birthday. Now, you remember the thing which I told you, of the Jews, when they would celebrate Passover and say next year in Jerusalem, So next year in Rome. Now, non-well wishers, you will not partake, but well wishers will what? Hey, just wish me well and partake. Next year in Rome. Praise the Lord. Who has a visa to whatever, Italy? I have to go to Rome. Praise the Lord. Now, today we are going to be very brief. Because you have to go and, you know, so many places. Curfew, what? Praise the Lord. Yeah, some people refused curfew. And they were taken out by the New World Order. And by the way, they were taken out. You know that, they were taken out. But you know how happy I was to see this woman, coming for the swearing in a chikos of like 50 people, none of them in a mask. So I said to the spirit of the other man, what? Rests on what? The spirit of Elijah rests on who? None of them. And you know, here is the thing, by the way, let me tell you. The important thing is this. Because you see, when people don't understand that when we serve God, what things which seem to be like bad things actually turn out for good. Amen? And the principle was set there of, had they known, they would not have crucified what? The key thing is that you wait and see how many similar people will rise up from somewhere more than the other one. And the scripture says, the principle says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. Praise the Lord. But when it falls in the ground and dies, then it multiplies. You wait and see this whole rubbish vanish. Because now people have seen, that's like the fourth or fifth person of the people who stood up to say this thing is fake, and somehow they catch it and what, then say poetic justice. It is, they are being taken out. You wait, you'll see. Now, even if they actually, like, we come to a place, let me tell you, we come to a place where there is no point living unless you are going to do the will of God. Amen? Whether we live or die, we live or die for Christ. You know what? That's what Paul said. And if, you know, I was seeing a certain other leader from a certain other country, who has been in power for many visanjas, talking about the other guy. And he's saying, you know, we fought these colonialists from what? You know, Zambia, Tanzania, when we're fighting the whites of South Africa. And I'm reading behind the lines what he's saying. Then he says, this man stood against these people and what? And I'm reading behind the lines. And I'm seeing what he's trying to say. But you see, you choose to go down one path of subjecting your people to suffering because you are trying to please some people. And those people will not be pleased anyway. But of course, that's what happens if you are not serving the purpose of God. Amen? But if you're serving the purpose of God, it doesn't matter even if you died. You're serving the purpose of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the first thing that happens when you actually, in this new world order time, anybody, you know that scripture which I told you in Revelation, they loved not their lives, even unto death. Eh? You actually either come to that place or you are going to be useless. Because they'll present and you see, you say, ah, now I'm going to go down this one. They took out the other one, the other one, the other one. So now fear takes you over. And now once fear takes over, that is the hook of the devil. Praise the Lord. Now when you refuse to fear, the glory of God and of Christ rests on you. That's what the scripture says. Amen? And do not make any mistake. Eh? You know, we are living in a time where the people who thought that the church and the church things are like separate, some kind of spiritual thing to be separated from secular things. There is no spiritual and secular with God. He's interested in everything. He's interested in people's well-being, in their livelihood, in their prosperity, in them enjoying themselves. Praise the Lord. So, and he's going to choose people who are going to do that. You know, when David was crowned king, there was a heathen king from Syria who sent and said, because I think he had had interactions with David, so he knew what kind of person David was. So he sent and said, because the Lord loved his people, he has chosen you to be king over them. Because he knew what kind of person David was. So he said, because God loved his people, he has chosen you to be king over them. Praise the Lord. Now, we cannot separate certain things from certain things. That is not the time in which we are living. Because if you separate, the kingdom of darkness wants to come for that place. And we are the ones who have to stop them from coming in that place. And unless somebody stands up, and unless somebody has this whole, you know, that attitude of, you know, of we're on a mission. We're not going to be here for so long anyway. Amen? We're not going to be here for so long, what? Anyway, so, why not just spend whatever time we are here doing the will of God? That's the only thing we'll carry from here, going the other side. Praise the Lord. The only thing, nothing else. The only thing. So, 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says that whatever is born of God, these dimensions are not seen. I'm not seeing some whatever. Huh? But whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Somebody say it to me. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Praise the Lord. Now it does not say whoever is born of God. It says whatever. Whatever. It's not just talking about a person. It's talking about a dream. It's talking about an idea that is born of God, that overcomes the world. Not just people. So you have something that is planted inside you that was born of God. And now he's saying, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So that idea, that thing that you have, remember, sometime ago I told you about that still small voice, which is actually the most powerful weapon of God. So God comes to Elijah in a, you know, earthquake, in fire, and he's not there. Then he comes in a still small voice and he's there. Just showing that this earthquake and what is, but the what matters is what his word is. That is, the word of God is what set everything in motion. Praise the Lord. Now, whatever is born of God inside of you overcomes the world. Now, the fact he says overcomes means it is anything that is born of God is going to have to face resistance. And there is something that that resistance is to the kingdom of God is actually called the world. That's why Jesus says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the what? The world. Now, then he says, so the thing is, the truth is that the world and is pushing against what is born of God, but God and his plan in this end time are pushing against the world and what is of the world. And we know who the winner is going to be. Amen? Now we know that kingdom come and they have some, you know, successes here and there and so on. But the reality is that their time is not yet. It is not yet time for them. That time will come. But when that time comes, we shall not be here. Amen? They have their plans. But the time for those plans are not yet. Because God still has his what? His things to do here. Now, they might appear to have some, you know, a success here and there and so on. But ultimately, whatever is born of God is going to overcome the world. And now the world, here is the thing. You see, when people say the world, the biggest thing that the scripture talks about, the things about the world. And he says, first of all, in 1 John chapter 2, verse what? Verse, I think, 14. 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I might as well say this. If anyone loves the Father, the love of the world is not in him. Praise the Lord. Now, there are so many things the scripture says about the word, but you know, it says that thing about how it presents itself to somebody in form of opinions which are supposed to be mainstream. Do you understand? Like something is supposed to be a mainstream opinion. How dare you think something different? And that is the world actually coming to invade your mind. And by the way, that's where the conquest all takes place. It's not outside here. Because you accept something in your head, and whatever you accept in your head, the world has conquered you at that level. Praise the Lord. So it comes and presents itself to you in form of, the scripture talks about the wisdom of this world. Praise the Lord. So somebody comes and brings something to you which appears to be wisdom, but it's actually wisdom of the world, which actually the Bible says is foolishness to who? To God. Now, and it comes as it's something wise and it's calling for your attention and it's said by some celebrity and what, but it is actually calling you to conquer you and bring you into a certain fold which is called the world. The next thing you know, every idea that the world comes up with, you are there. Okay? And everything they come up with, you are right there. And there is nothing. And now the things of God, and it's so automatic. Now, when you get to that point, the things of God actually become repulsive to you. Somebody will come up and he says something which is of God, and you're repulsed. You say, how can you say that? Haven't you seen people, even men of God, standing and rebuking somebody who actually quoted the scripture? Like the other Australian rugby guy who just tweeted a scripture as it is. He did not change anything. Guess who are the people who abused him the most? Pastors. Because the scripture was talking about homosexuality. He did not even add his interpretation. He just quoted the scripture. Now, how does somebody get from this to the other? It is presented to you in form of, we are inviting you to go and speak at this, you know. You understand? Eh? That's why the scripture says that, do not love the lust of life. And let's read it. What does it say in 16? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. Now, that's where you find that people who were once in pursuit, in actually hot pursuit of God, the world has presented itself to them in some kind of platform where you go. And then you're given some, you know, thing where you sit and speak, and you are fraternizing with all these people. and you, it gives you the impression that you what? You've arrived. And actually, there you've been trapped, you've been conned, and the world has prison and come and engulfed itself around you. And do not make any mistake, the devil is after your mind. As long as your mind is sound and is in pursuit of God, he has nothing on you whatsoever. Praise the Lord. He has nothing on you, regardless of what mistakes you make. Well, as long as your mind is sound and in pursuit of God, he's totally powerless against you. So he will come and present something. You know, we can give you this. We can come. I know you are going to do this. You are going to get this scholarship. You are going to go and, you know, there is this fellowship in this university and so on. And I see people who fall for those things. And they present themselves as there is nothing, you know, whatever. But the minute you get there, they call you because of what you stand for and because they think they can kind of refine your thinking. And it comes in a subtle way and so on. And the reason I'm saying this is the world is so powerful these days, and it is engulfing men of God at a speed you cannot believe. Praise the Lord. So they invite you to what? To some talk show or something, and they ask, so, is Jesus the only way? Does that mean all Muslims are going to perish? Then you see somebody fumbling. You know, you see what? Who am I to judge? Blah, 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 blah. And then they pin you. Once they see, let me tell you, the minute they put you there and they see you're unwavering, they will go for a commercial break and they won't come back. Because they can see that this one, now we have cornered him. And now the thing is this, you will speak those words, but the world is engulfing you. It talks about the spirit of the world. It talks about the wisdom of this world. Okay? It talks about somewhere in all over the scripture, about all these things which present themselves, and you have to stand at some stage and say, no, I am present. And it comes, don't you fool yourself that you will stand for God and you will not come in any form of danger. You will. You'll come in some kind of peril. You'll get to a place where you have to be unaccepted. You understand? Eh? By certain groups of people, by certain people, and so on. But you have to choose. Because the minute you actually feel that you have to conform to a certain kind of opinion. But you know, I pray God that when you are convinced of something and it is of God, that you are unwavering in your conviction. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just that you know, this is the pursuit of God and the world is going to come and try to swirl itself around me. Because anything, every whatever job that you received of the Lord is going to come under resistance. That's why Jesus says it will overcome. You don't overcome unless there is resistance. Amen? So whatever ministry, whatever plan, whatever marriage, whatever what is born of God, it will have to overcome. It is going to come under. Do you understand? Eh? It is going to come under a lot of attack. So it's for overcoming. But then you have to know that the scripture says whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So you come with that sense that now this idea that I have, this business idea that I have, this, you know, whatever it is I have, is born of God. I was there, the Lord implanted it on me, and I can see the working of God around it. Praise the Lord. Hey. And now it says here, the last of eyes. You know, you know, I was talking with somebody the other day was, and even the methodology, you know, somebody who reminded me a dream which had told me earlier, long time ago, you know, actually it's my wife, she told me a dream way back some time ago, before she was even my wife, and then she reminded me of the dream, and I found it interesting for such a time as this, because in the dream she saw God seated at the front of a certain ministry, a powerful ministry, and here in Kampala. And God was seated there. Now, when he was, and there were people in that place who were busy, very busy, you know, you've seen busy bodies, somebody is moving here, doing this, we have to do this, we have to do this, do this and do this. And they would all come and walk and come within, you know, some distance of him, eh? And then go back, then come here, then go back, then come here, then go back. And he's there seated looking at them, and none of them can even notice that he's there. Then in a dream he told her that, you see, they are doing what I told them to do, but not in the way that I told them to do it. Then he actually said, the last time they inquired of me is when I told them what to do. They never came back. You know that thing of now God, okay, what do we do? This, okay, thank you very much. We can take it up from here. Now we do not need your input. We can do what? We'll take it up from here. Now what happens is actually, because you've started with some, you know, something of God, the ministry thrives, and actually thrived, and it became big and thrived and so on. But at some stage, then people start seeing that it is decaying. Because you can't do what God told you to do in your own way. And if there's actually one thing that you learn from the ministry of King David, it is that everything, the Philistines have come now. Lord, should I attack? Yes, attack. Then he attacks, then he hammers them. Then they come back again. Then he asks, Lord, should I attack? Yes, attack. Then he attacks, hammers them. Then the guys come back a third time. And then David, instead of using the template of the previous times, he asks again. And then God told him, this time don't attack. Now the classic Christian would say, he told me attack twice. Why should I go to ask again? Then you get hammered. But David went to ask the third time, and this time God says, no, now don't. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, it says that they are doing what I told them to do, but not in the way that I told them. So you say, okay, now God, thank you very much. This is what you want. Eh? We'll take it up from here. Eh? Now relax. We'll just bring you audited accounts. Praise the Lord. And it has, he wants to be involved in every step of the way. Praise the Lord. That's the only way it is going to succeed. Eh? And you have got to believe in him. That's why they are... But you see, the temptation is, let me tell you, you start something of God, anything that is of God, and see how people in the world who would even not look in your direction at one stage will come and start saying, what you're doing is very good. Now what we are going to do, do you know we can get funding for what? That is the world. Praise the Lord. I was talking to somebody who started something very powerful, very supposed to help people and what. Then you go and talk to people whose mindset is the world. The world has its way of doing things. Praise the Lord. It has its way of, in everything, the world has its way of doing things. That's why that scripture of David saying that those who did not fight get the same share, that is not the way of the world. The way of the world is, you didn't fight, you don't get. Just take your wife and your children and go. But now you see, the ways of God seem to go contrary to the ways of the world. Now something comes, and for instance, I was, you know, I've met people who say, sometime, you know, I used to think that, why doesn't this work? Where somebody comes and says, you know, I cannot give to big ministries because they don't need my money. I give to small ministries where I can, you know, my money makes a difference, and so on. And so on. And actually, that is the way the world thinks. Eh? But you become small like those ministries. That's the truth. You don't give because of need. But somebody says, this one who is big, that's where I want to give. And then the person becomes big like what? Like where he's going. Then because you see, it's flesh. You want to feel important. If I have my 100K and I give it to Watchman, it's not going to help. It's not going to make a difference. But somebody else, I mean, until you understand that it's actually not, the things of God work the other way around. Eh? You look at where there is something moving in some direction. where there is an improvement, where there is no stagnation. Praise the Lord. Now our ministry, of course, submits to a ministry where there is no stagnation. Therefore, there is also no what? We don't stagnate here. We move forward. There is no element of stagnation. It cannot happen. We are always moving what? Forward. And that's it. We will only stagnate at the rapture when we go to heaven to get our reward. But otherwise, there is not a moment where we are not seeing what is the next big thing we can do. What's the next thing we can do? Now, you see, if you say, now, you know, why should I give? You know, the ones they have, they seem to have everything. So let me give these ones who are starting. You'll become like them. Unless, of course, the Lord has led you there. Of course, there is the leading of the Lord. Sometimes also starting ministries needs, you know. So sometimes God might lead you there. But you see, if you're trying to use your mind and your fleshly mind, then you're going into the system of the world. Then they say, but you see, those people who give to, you know, rich people, do you want to be poor? So you give to those who have what you want. That's it. Now, I don't even know why I brought that up. But my point is, the world has its ways. They are completely contrary to the ways of God. Like they are completely in opposition to the ways of God. Now, the world is always reaching out for anything that is born of God. Whatever it is, they will come with ideas. So this lady comes and tells me she started this wonderful thing, powerful word. Then she goes, then she sings how it is starting. And then God goes and does miracles, one miracle after another, just to give you that thing that this has the signature of God. And God does things in a way that you will know that He's the one doing it. Why? To build your faith. And then you know that God is with me. Now, since He's with me, if I feel whatever, then I will move. Okay? Now, then somebody comes and says, we are going to give you, you know, we can do a proposal, you get funding, and what? Don't think the world presents itself to you in the form of bringing you down. No. It actually comes to put you up, but bring you down. How do you think people who started out when nobody knew them and built powerful ministries and changed this whole country go and stand before the president and they talk to him as if they're talking to Jesus Christ? Have you had some of those pastors talking to him? Like, it is very sad. I cannot listen. I get, you know, Rutiko, eh? You know, goosebumps. Eh? Like, when you hear some of those guys talking to the president, you say, eh? Like, it is real worship. There's one of them even who hates me. How dare you say something about the president? At least abuse Jesus. But the president? And the guy hates me with all his passion. Eh? Like with a lot of passion. Because how dare I say, like he has become their god. How did they come there? The world comes slowly. You know, we can give you this. You know what? What do you need? What? Never put yourself, God, let me tell you. Those people, when they started, nobody wanted to know them. Amen? God is the only one who was interested. Then he lifts you. He puts you to a place where you start getting people's attention. Now you suddenly start thinking that attention is what makes you. And then it defeats you, and now the world has engulfed you. And you've gone down the system. The next thing you know, guess who are the people who are promoting those whatever? in America. Eh? You know, everything the world brings, eh? They use pastors. And the pastors are there for that reason, to be used. Now, the difference, of course, is that when I stand there and I look at mighty men, okay, who have gone down this path, I don't presume that I cannot. I know I can. I just say, where did they, what was there? Where did it all break? You understand? Eh? What went wrong? At what point did they do this? Now, at the point where you think that there is anybody who has the ability to make or break you apart from God, is the point you lose it. Is the point the world has you. It can be even in a job, which you got miraculously. But then you get there and you somehow feel that, you know, I have to play this, what, this, that. And you fail to let things up to what? To just the trust of God. to just trust God. And now the interesting thing is, I was telling somebody that the other day, who finds a bit of the things we do crazy. So, saying now, how? What about, you know, how do you do this and do this? How about this? How about that? You know what? And he's trying to bring me to a place. And I'm like, the word by the do you, have you ever seen someone trying to read for you a budget? Eh? That's the word. Praise the Lord. That's what? Okay, I'm saying now for me, eh? Because I took so long to get to a place where I do not think things in those terms. I think things of, do I feel the leading of God that we should go there? Now, when I feel the leading of God, and I'm sure of it, after that, it's just cappuccino. You understand? Like, I know it is going to be taken care of. It is going to be taken care of. Praise the Lord. I know it. Like, it is Him. And you see, it's very easy. These are lessons I learned way back before even all of you, most of you were in this ministry. When I first started night prayers, it was the first time I was having weekly meetings, and then they come and present to me, now, for this Friday's back, this is how much we need, this is what we need. So, I start thinking now, what are we going to do? Then, the Lord spoke to me and told me, don't stand in my way when I'm trying to pay my bills. Praise the Lord. That was the most powerful thing. So I said, so they are your bills. So mine is to enjoy cappuccino. But do you know how relieving that is? To sit there and I say that, no, that's not my business. My business is to seek the Lord on what I am going to give to His people. That's what He called me to do. Not to fundraise. Not to look for money. Those are His bills. Actually, on top of that, He actually even pays me. That's how the Lord works now. And now let me tell you, and okay, these things work even for people who are not. It's just about learning, the process of learning how to trust God. That is where I was telling somebody that nobody stays in the wilderness any longer than they have to. Okay? God has no delight in keeping anybody one extra minute in the wilderness when you've learned the lesson of how to trust Him. Amen? The minute that lesson is learned, the next thing you enter your promised land. Okay, bit by bit. Eh? Bit by bit. But God does not delight in you. Like, of course, when you're starting, there's a bit of the wilderness. That story is not there for nothing. But you see, He says in the wilderness to teach you, to humble you, to teach you how to trust me, that man shall not live on bread alone, to do this just to teach you that now take food enough for today. Don't take for tomorrow. Trust me for food for tomorrow. That's a big lesson. Then some people try to take for tomorrow, it gets rotten. But then, the day before the Sabbath, He says take for 2 days, and then they take for 2 days, and that time it doesn't get rotten. So, just to show them that you have to depend on me. Now, let me tell you, you people, I learned how to depend on God completely for everything. Protection, provision, everything. Just depend on God. And that's the biggest thing you can do for Him. Just depend on Him. And the amount of work He goes through to teach you that I am God, you can trust me. Just trust me, I have everything you want. Just trust me. And He has to go through a lot just to put that in you. Because, of course, we are trained in the ways of this world. Eh? That, you know, yeah, you have to save the, you have to do this. You have to basically take care of yourself. Eh? Now, of course, when you've learned how to let God take care of you, then you can actually go and do all those things. And it's okay. But the lesson has to first be inculcated. Praise the Lord. I remember, I don't know why I'm having to say this again. But I remember a time when I told my, I think now I know why. But there's a friend of mine who he had a ministry, he had started, and you know, he was what? So, you know, you start something in faith. So you say, God has led us, what? So, yeah, you go to a place, start your ministry. Yeah, faith. You have enough money for what? One, for one whatever. Yeah, for one fellowship or whatever. But you start. But you know God has led you there. So, the next time there was no money. But they said, ah, it's okay. Then the third time, yeah, it's okay. Then the fourth time, they said, now unless you pay, there is no what? There is no entry. You have to first pay. So, he starts fundraising. So he tells me that what? So he calls me. Says, man, these guys have said they are not going to open the facility. And people are about to start gathering. And now let me tell you, the devil will tell you that okay, that man, can you imagine people come? Eh? And they what? And they find a kufu. They find a huge padlock. Man, eh? The shame. Praise the Lord. Now you know something. Eh? If it happened to me, I wouldn't be ashamed at all. I would just go back home. And ask for another cup of coffee. Like it is. Once you still think that you can be ashamed, then you still you're still in control. You understand? I there is no shame whatsoever. None for me. Ah. Like none. Now let me tell you. You know what the Magana say? You know what do they say? Wagubo mutima. Eh? That's you have to get to that point because. Now, so I tell this gentleman, I tell him that, listen, so do you believe, because I know he's a man of God, a real man of God, and you know, no doubt. I said, do you believe that God led you there? He says, yes, I believe. I said, so, huh? So, do you believe that, you know? So I told him that, let me tell you, God never called you. Fundraise. That's not your work. As a man of God, God called you to preach the word and pray for people and so on. That's your job description. So I told him, now, let me tell you something. Don't waste a minute calling anybody for money. Just prepare your message and prepare to go and minister. If you go there and they have put a padlock, you tell God that you did not pay your bills. Me, I was ready to minister. You're the one who failed to pay your bills. Me, I'm ready. Let me tell you, that guy told me that was the most liberating thing. Because he switched off his phone. And you know these people in what? In administration. They know how to call. And they take you out of the spirit. Now, I was there, the other side, it was on the beach having a blast. Then they are telling me we haven't got money to move. I said, call God. Me, I'm what? Me, I'm having a blast. By the way, let me tell you, there is not a single moment where that changes my thinking. Okay, I think, I don't know what I was doing when I was. I think either watching a movie or what? What? Hey, no, it's okay. You know? Tell God, it is not my bills. Praise the Lord. It's not my what? I am not doing my work. And I'm not doing it for my glory. Praise the Lord. I do it for the glory of God. I do it by God, for God. So, his bills. Now, I'm telling you this because you have to. Now, the world will present itself in money. That is the cardinal way. Almost all people are toppled in that area. Money. Where now you say, they say, you know, okay, now you are, there's this good work you have to do. And it's actually of God. But you have to go here. But God, I mean. So, you know, I told this gentleman, don't worry. It is well. You just prepare your message. So he switched off his phone. So that nobody calls him. And started, you know, praying in tongues. What? With his Bible. Then, prepared his message. Then it was a few minutes too. He put on his suit. Meanwhile, there was a kufuru there. There was a padlock on the view. He put on his suit. Yeah, and got in his, and came with his suit and his whatever pad, which is where the Bible is. So, he told me he arrives. But you know, you be on tension a bit. Yeah. Let me tell you, like when you're learning these things, like let nobody deceive you that it is that easy. It is not. And God does not even expect it to be. But he has to teach you progressively. So he tells me, then he arrived. Then he heard people singing. He said, hey. So now he said, so something happened. So he arrives, he enters, and the service is going on. People are singing, what, worshiping. So he says, God sorted these things. He went to the pulpit and what? Ministered. That was the last time rent was ever an issue. The last. Amen? Now, and he says, cast your burdens to him. Like he's the one who said it. Can you imagine? He said it. So it's, that's what you want. Thank you very much. So me, I'm going to give them to you. Me, I do my things. Praise the Lord. And he teaches, he goes through a lot to teach us that. Because there is no vision that is of God, that is born of God, that is not going to need finances at some stage. But he expects his children to learn how to get it from him. That's where it is. Otherwise, the world will present its methodology to you, how you can get this, how you can achieve this, how you can do this. And the next thing you know, you are doing it the way of the world. This gentleman, you come here, this man from Guru. There is a testimony he told me on Wednesday. I've forgotten it, but it was powerful. You give him a microphone. Eh? Let him first. Which one? Switch tone. Let him hold it.
Praise the Lord. Uh-huh. My name is Alfred Obol. I'm from Gulu. I joined the Watchman last year. I'm now a year in the Watchman, and I partner with the Watchman, and also this is my ministry.
Which testimonies did you tell me on Wednesday? I've forgotten the exact one, but
I told you a testimony about moving into the second house, about the rent.
Can I first tell us that one very quickly?
The Lord told me to move to Gulu, so I got a house. I was praying, and the Lord showed me a house. It is in the flat. It was 400,000. And I had only 500,000. So I called the landlord, and he tells me to pay 1 month as security and 3 months. That would mean I have to pay 1.6 million. So I go to meet the landlord, and I meet him, and I tell him I have 500,000. And he looks at me and he says, you've wasted my time. I have a doctor who is coming to pay for the house over the weekend. That was like Monday. And he said, there's a doctor who's coming to pay for the house for the whole 3 months, all the money he needed. So I just kind of start praying in tongues. And the man is talking and he's talking, and I kind of shut him out. We are just seated next to each other. So I shut him out and I'm praying in tongues. So the man talks. Then I tell him again, I have 500,000. And he continues saying, no, you know, you have to give me what? Then I shut him out. Then I continue praying in my heart. And then I stop. And then I kind of loudly and a bit rudely, I say, I have 500,000. Then the man turns and looks at me. He says, bring your money. So he removes the keys from his pocket immediately. And we move up the stairs of the house. He opens it and starts showing me the place, what? Then he asked me, where's the money? I didn't even have the money. The money was somewhere else. I had to pick it. So I told him, I have to withdraw the money from the mobile money. But I have the house. So he just writes a cheat for me, showing I get the money and I give him, writes a cheat. Then I even stay. Then I pay him later. I add him 300,000 after like 2 weeks. I am in the house. Yeah. It's
Okay, that's praise the Lord. How long have you been in the house?
I entered the house on February the 15th.
So you've been there like 1 month?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like 4 months.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. By the way, Lydia, thank you for bringing up this scripture. You read, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall do what? Sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous be moved. Can you imagine somebody who commits himself to that? Let me tell you something. When God gives you 1 month rent, he has committed himself to pay your rent back at last. That is how we live. I don't think about it after that. Because if he gives you for 1 month, does he expect you to shift after that? Does he expect you to be on the street after that? So he's basically saying, now, this is my business. Now you do other things. Praise the Lord. Now, when you actually get to the point where you trust, because unless you learn how to trust God for finance, I can promise you the world will swallow in. Because you need finance. There is no way out. The bills are there. They have to be paid. So don't think that we go to school, the school of the spirit, that you're wasting time. It is the best thing you can ever do. Praise the Lord. The best thing you can ever what? Because once you learn it, those who have PhDs will be broke. Those who have what will be broke. But he who learns how to trust the Lord will never, unless there is a coup in heaven and he's overthrown, you will never, because the lesson you've learned is there for good, and it is permanent, and it is dependable, and there is nothing that can shake it. Can you imagine? Like, you think it's a small thing, but it is the biggest thing. You learn that, okay, this is my level. I entered this. I had rent for 1 month. After that, the next month came, the third month, the fourth month. Then now, God being God, after even like 6 months, he says, but aren't you tired of this small house? Eh? Don't you see even the watchman has moved? And you're even a well-wisher? Eh? Then he says, now why don't you move to the next one? Now, the minute he gives you rent for the first month of the next one, chiwede, he has come. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The minute he gives you school fees for one semester, he has to go all the way until you're tired of studying. Once he gives you one semester, do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Don't start trying to plan for him. That's the message Jesus was saying when he says, you see these birds and this what? They don't have barns. There's nowhere they keep food. But your heavenly Father looks after them and they eat and they feed. Have you ever had a bird of dying of hunger? Then he says, how much more are you? Your very hairs are numbered. He said, if God actually feeds the birds and makes sure they always have something to eat, how much more are you? And that's the message Jesus is trying to give. Don't try to overplan tomorrow, the other day, and what now what is going to happen after the other day, now what's going to happen. No, it is sorted. He committed himself, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he says he will never permit the righteous to what? To be moved. So you just chill. Now, when we know that whatever is born of God, what's the time? Eh? 7:41. Hey, we have to finish. Eh? We are home, eh? You wait when they hammer you walk. You nanny says what? Eh? We need a Magufuli here so that we can. So what was I saying? Eh? Yes, you shall never permit the righteous one. The truth is, the only way you can know that I started this business, it's going to overcome the world. Now let me tell you, they will fight it. They will do what? It is the world. They don't want anything. And now the devil knows what is birth of God. Anything. Dream, idea, what, some. And there are so many people here. All of you have ideas which are birth of God, isn't it? Now you know that you have to overcome the world. Because it was born of God. And God says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So you know, this thing of mine, it was born of God. I am going to overcome the world. The world is going to come in the form of, you can't do this. We've locked you down. We've done this. We've done this. But then you learn how to trust God and say, but your word says, you are the one who started this thing. So guess who is supposed to finish it? You. So your word says, whatever is born of you is going to overcome the world. So I believe that this business of mine is going to succeed. And there is nothing that can stand in the way of it. because it was born of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But then he goes on to say, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our what? Our faith. So you have to just believe. And that's all. Just believe. Believe. Of course, the truth is, when you're schooled in the ways of the world, believing sometimes, like I told you, it was difficult for the other part. But when you take the burden away from yourself and say, mine is to what? To obey. Because we are supposed to be children. Now imagine, like, just children. To obey. Now move here. Now do this. Now I want you to start this. Now I want you to start this. Then you just seek him for the next direction. He gives it to you. You obey. And leave the rest up to him. That the only way is that. Any other way, you're lying yourself. The resistance will be too much until you learn that it is the Lord. Even when you look at the things which are happening here, I will end with this. When you look at the things which are happening, you know this. I told you all the things that God is going to do, even in our country, they are going to be by grace. There are people who have positioned themselves and they think they are immovable. Imagine if any person thought it was your duty to remove them. No, it is not. It is not. It will remove them. Amen? You do what? Hey. You remove them. Himself. Glory to God. Hey, but you know, we have. So the only thing you have to do is, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. So you believe. Anything. Our faith. I have faith that it is going to be well with me. God is in control. Okay? Of anything. Of a car which somebody wants to buy, like a serious car. Like, and praise the Lord. Put one foot forward and see how the Lord is going to do the rest. Yes, that's the principle. It's just that simple. Put one foot forward and let the Lord do the rest. The world says, first get everything you need. God says, start with what you have and walk in faith. You remember the story I told you of Joshua crossing the River Jordan? You remember that story? Joshua is crossing the River Jordan and God says, today I am going to part the Jordan. And you're going to walk on dry land. And you're going to cross over the other side. Then the scripture even says that the Jordan was overflowed. The waters were very high. Then they pray, they do everything they're supposed to do. Then the priests get the covenant box and start walking in the water before it has parted. And they walk, and they walk, and they walk by faith. Now when it reached where they would have drowned, then the waters parted. That is God's way. You will never change him. For he want to say, first part it and I walk. He will say, no, first walk. He will not change. You are the one who has to change to his ways. Praise the Lord. For him, he says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Praise him. So his ways are those. He will say, first walk in the water. Believe that I'm going to actually part it. Then when you walk, then the water goes. You're walking by faith. When you would have drowned, then the water parts. The world says, eh. First part it, then we go. Then you stand at the bank for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, nothing is happening in your life. And God is saying, just walk. I will part. I told you, didn't I say I'm going to part it? You walk. The day you step in is the day it parts. Then you say, why did I waste all the 3 years? Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I have no time to waste. Praise the Lord. Okay. That's it for today. We can't even now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, who is believing for a moving to a bigger office space, whatever it is, just believing for something, house, office space, what? Something big, whatever it is. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you because you make a way for these people in the name of Jesus. I thank you because it is done. It's done. They receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it's some things I'm seeing, but anyway, God bless you. Time is up.
God sent his son, the promised king, only one worthy. In that he gave out of his love, only one worthy to redeem. No greater love than your son who died for me. He gave his life and his all just for me. You're greater love than your son who died for me. He gave his life and his all just for me. Of God,
humble, so kind.
You are worthy. You suffered all
shame.
Covered me from death. You are worthy to redeem.
Raised me with the sun and set me on high in your glory. You couldn't see me die. Hallelujah, you deserve all the glory. You raised me with the sun and set me on high.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Plot 9, Kulubia Road, Bugolobi. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.